Philippians chapter number 2. I was telling Brother David a minute ago on the way here, I said, I got an outline, and God gave me a different one when I was doing some extra studying on this. And so, where's she going to preach? Amen. We'll help you with some truths. In Philippians chapter number 2, we've been working our way through the book of Philippians. This is part 4. And so the first part was in chapter 1. We dealt with Paul's triumphant experiences. And then in part 2, we began a three-week series on Paul's tremendous examples. And we looked at Christ and his example of sacrifice. We looked at Timothy last week and his example in service. And now we're going to look at Epaphroditus tonight and his example through sickness. His example through sickness. Look at verse number 25. We're just going to read from 25 to the rest of the chapter. It's not too many verses here. Verse 25 of chapter 2, the book of Philippians. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help us as we try to relate this passage and look at Epaphroditus and the example that he was and the impact that he had made in the life of Paul and what he had done for the church there at Philippi, but also what he had done for each individual member and how he had blessed them. Use us, guide us, teach us, help us, Lord, to be a blessing as well. And not allow our sickness to become an excuse, but rather to become something we can glory in our service for you. Use us, guide us. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. So real quick, we're going to go through this general outline. Then I'm going to give you something that's very, very practical here in just a moment. Look at verse number 25. We're going to notice first and foremost his ministry, Epaphroditus' ministry. Now, Epaphroditus is one of those Bible characters that we don't read a whole lot about. He's one of those Bible characters that most people actually don't know a whole lot about. But here, Epaphroditus was the one who the Philippians had sent to Paul. And he ministered to Paul while he was in prison, and I personally believe that Paul had sent Epaphroditus back to the church at Philippi with this letter specifically. And so here, Epaphroditus was a servant, and he was somebody who was sent by the Philippians, sent to the Philippians by Paul, but he was also sent by the Philippians to Paul, and we'll see that here in just verse number 25. Notice here, verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor. Notice what Paul says about him. He says he's my brother. He's my companion. That means friend. Here he references Epaphroditus as his brother. Now, if you go back a few verses and we look at Timothy from last week, he referred to Timothy as his son in the faith. Timothy was one that he had led to the Lord. But here Epaphroditus was something that was a little bit closer than specifically someone you lead to the Lord, but it was rather a brother. He had a different type of relationship with Epaphroditus than he had with Timothy. See, he was teaching and training Timothy in the ways of the ministry, but as far as Epaphroditus was encouraging him, and he was encouraging Epaphroditus. They had a very symbiotic relationship, meaning they mutually benefited off of one another. Okay? Now here, he's supposed to necessary to send you Epaphroditus. He says, my brother and companion. So here he's a brother, here he's a friend. And then notice what else Paul says about him. He says he is a fellow soldier. So here he was a soldier for the cause of Christ. But notice what else he says, but your messenger, and then he ministered to my wants. So here he's also a servant. So he's not just a soldier for the cause of Christ, but he's also a servant fulfilling the very needs that were presented here. But not just needs. Notice how Paul words this. He says, he ministered to my wants. Now, hold your place here. Go to Philippians 4. We'll get to Philippians 4 in a few weeks, I promise you. But I want you to notice this verse here. Philippians 4:19, it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, God's going to supply all the needs that you have in your life. God's going to supply everything that you need in order to be successful, in order to be able to serve God in every possible way with every opportunity that God has given you. And we see that also in Philippians chapter 2, where He worketh both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But here, Epaphroditus was not ministering to Paul's needs. God had provided all of his needs. God had given him food. God had given him clothing. God had given him shelter. Now, granted, that shelter may have been a prison, but God gave him shelter. Okay? God ministered to his needs. And Epaphroditus at this time is ministering to his wants. He's supplying different things that he wanted. He wanted to be able to go to the church at Philippi, but he could not. So instead, Epaphroditus went. He wanted to be a blessing to others in the faith, but he could not because of the position where he was. So Epaphroditus filled that hole. He filled that opportunity. Now, there's sometimes in the ministry where we can supply the wants of other folks, and we can be able to be a blessing, be able to be a servant, even in the midst of hard times and trials. So here, Epaphroditus was a brother. He was a friend. He was a servant. He was a soldier for the cause of Christ. But also, I want you to notice, he was not just sent by the Philippians to Paul, but notice he was sent, or he was not just sent to the Philippians by Paul, here at the beginning of the verse, but he was sent by the Philippians to Paul. He said he was your messenger. He was your messenger, meaning that Epaphroditus had come from the church at Philippi to come and minister to Paul while he was in prison. The church at Philippi had no doubt, again, the church at Philippi was full of many of the first converts that Paul had on his missionary journey. We believe that Lydia was a convert that was there on the church at Philippi. We believe that the Philippian jailer and his family were converts that were there plugged into the church at Philippi. And so several of those that he had personally invested in on his missionary journey were there. And this church was very, very close to his heart. He had opened up to them in a way that he didn't open up to others. We covered that several weeks ago. But here this church sends one of their members, Epaphroditus, to go and to check on Paul while he's in prison, to minister to him, to take care of his needs. And don't you thank God for the different people God puts into our lives? He knows when we need certain things, and He knows who exactly to use in our lives to supply those different needs, but also those different wants as well. I thank God that God knows what we need and when we need it. I was sharing with several different folks, and I've come over the last few months to use this phrase regularly. I believe God is a God of divine appointments. And I believe it now more than I ever have believed it before. And that's the fact that God knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly when it's going to happen. And He knows exactly who is going to be involved. And God's going to divinely appoint certain people to be in certain places for such a time as this. Here we see Epaphroditus' ministry. It was not just for the church or to the church. It was also to Paul. His ministry was there to Paul. And then you'll notice in verse 26 and 27, not just his ministry, but we see his malady, his sickness. All right? His malady, his malnutrition, his sickness that he had had. Notice what it says in verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Now notice the selflessness of his suffering. Here, most of the time, when we go through sickness, we are burdened because of our own sickness. Correct? Now, most of the time, somebody gets sick and they're throwing up, they're vomiting, they're going to act like a complete baby and we're laying in the bed. You know what I mean? I've been there. Ask my wife. I told my wife several times. I said, guys, many times we as men, we are the worst. Because either we will be very irritable or we become very, very cranky and become like a baby when we get sick. And I told her, I said, I'm the very irritable type. Okay? And when I get sick, I'm just irritable. I don't like people being around me. I don't like people talking to me. I'm sick. This is what's going on. I'm fine. Just leave me alone. Let me throw up and everything will be fine. Okay? That's how I operate. That's the way my body is. And so I get very irritable. But here, notice Epaphroditus, the Bible says he longed after you all and was full of heaviness. But notice why he was full of heaviness. Because that ye had heard that he had been sick.
He was not in heaviness because of his sickness. He was in heaviness and he was burdened by the fact that he thought he was being a burden to someone else. Now think about that. I know several of us in the room are probably the same way. I don't want to be a burden to someone else. I don't want people to have to worry about me. Okay? Epaphroditus was such a servant that even in the midst of his sickness, he was not worried about his sickness, but rather he was worried about how his sickness had affected the ministry and how his sickness had affected others. Hey, sit up for me, okay? Slide back. There you go. He was worried. He was burdened by the fact that other people were burdened about him. He didn't want to be a hindrance to them. Now, I understand that type of philosophy and that type of thinking. But there are times where, yes, when we are sick, we need to be taken care of and we need things that we need to be able to rest in these different areas. But here Epaphroditus had such a heart for the ministry, he was burdened because he didn't want to be a burden. And here he longed after the church at Philippi. And he was full of heaviness of heart. By the way, if you look up this word heaviness, it is the same word that is used in reference to Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was being heavy with the burden that God had placed on him at that time, and he went and prayed for us. He prayed that this cup would pass from him. Jesus Christ was not heavy with a burden of his own. He was heavy with the burden of somebody else. And that's the same kind of love that Epaphroditus shows here. Here, he had a burden because he didn't want to be a burden. And then you'll notice in verse number 27, because he didn't want to be a burden, many people didn't know the seriousness of his sickness. We have the selflessness of his sickness in verse 26, but then we have the seriousness of his sickness. Because he kept things to himself, and because he kept plugging away for the cause of Christ, he didn't want to let anybody know the trials that he was facing. He didn't want anybody to have to be burdened down with the things that he was going through. And here Paul reveals to the church at Philippi, for indeed he was sick, verse 27, nigh unto death. He was sick to the point to where he would have died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Here, Paul was already burdened by the fact of where he was, and he wasn't able to get out in the ministry, and to add the death of a brother in Christ on top of that would be adding sorrow to sorrow. And that's exactly what he's talking about. But here, God had spared Epaphroditus' life because even though he was sick, God was not finished with his service yet. Here we see, though, in verse 27, the seriousness of his sickness. And then you'll notice in verse 28 and 29, again, I'm going to go through this first outline, and then I'm going to share you some practical insights. Verse 28 and 29, you'll notice not just his ministry, not just his malady, but here, notice his memory at the end of the chapter. Paul here requires some things of these believers. He said, I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Here he wanted the church at Philippi to rejoice about who Epaphroditus was, about what he had done, about the ministry that he had had. He wanted them to be able to rejoice that God was using him in the way that he had been using him. But also in verse 29, not only did Paul want the church to rejoice in Epaphroditus, but he wanted the church to receive Epaphroditus back. He wanted them to understand that, yes, Epaphroditus had been sick, but don't treat him any differently. Don't change your viewpoint of him. Don't begin to have a negative connotation or a negative idea about him and think that, oh, he's just doing too much in the ministry. No, receive him. Rejoice in what God used him for, but also receive him with gladness here. And then he was also told to reward him. At the end of verse 29, he says, hold such in reputation. Epaphroditus had earned their respect. Epaphroditus had earned a testimony to be able to continue to power through the things that God was doing in his life and to be able to show that service even through the sickness, even through the suffering that he was facing for the glory of God. He was still able to press forward for the cause of Christ. and he ought to be rewarded as such. He ought to be upheld there in the church, and people ought to be able to rejoice in the reputation that Epaphroditus had now earned and be able to respect him for the position that God had given him. And then Paul here remembers some things as well about this brother, Epaphroditus. Notice what he remembers. He remembers first his commitment. He says, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. He was going to do everything that he could do for the cause of Christ, even if it meant he was going to die for the glory of God. He was going to fight until the death. He was going to stay faithful to the finish. By the way, this is my opinion, so ding, 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 insert what you will. Paul was later able to say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. I believe, listen, Paul was one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the face of the earth. Of course, the greatest example we can follow outside of Jesus Christ himself. But I believe there's some things that Paul learned from Epaphroditus' example here because of this. Because he recognized that Epaphroditus had done this for the cause of Christ, and he was nigh unto death, and he did not regard his very own life. And I think that it would have encouraged Paul. Now, again, this is my opinion. But as a man, when I see somebody else fighting through a pain, I want to be able to go over there and help them go through whatever they're going through. If somebody is over there fighting through the struggle, and you know they got an ailment, they got a sickness, but they're still powering through, I'm going to do everything I can to try to help them so they don't have to overexert themselves. Now here, Paul, I believe, treated Epaphroditus the same way. He had got that encouragement. He had rekindled some of that flame inside of his life, because no doubt he was in prison. No doubt he was going through some time of discouragement as well. And here he had got some rekindling. His spirit had been refreshed. His spirit had been renewed. And he had remembered the commitment that Epaphroditus had. But also at the end of verse 30, he remembers his companionship. He said he was not regarding his life, and he wanted to supply your lack of service toward me. He wasn't getting on to the church at Philippi for their negligence or their inability to be able to help him in this area, but rather he was praising Epaphroditus because he stepped in when others couldn't. Now, we as a church, there are times where we're all striving to pull on the rope. Many of you remember Brother John McDaniel was here preaching, and he preached a missions message back at the beginning of April. And he preached on how we ought to be all pulling on the rope. And there's times where we're all going to plug together and we're all pulling on the rope. But there's going to be some times where there's several of us in here where you may have to pick up a little extra slack and pull a little bit more because somebody has fallen by the wayside a little bit. But then there's other times where you get to plug in or others get to plug in, because as we get a little bit weak, they're going to pull a little bit extra on the slack. We work together for the cause of Christ. We lift one another up. We bear one another's burdens, as the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There are times where we have to bear one another's burdens. I think of Moses there in the Old Testament. He had Aaron and Hur. Aaron and Hur lifted up his arms when he couldn't lift them up on his own. They provided a way to make sure that the man of God was taken care of. And in the church, in order for us to show unity, in order for us to press forward for the cause of Christ, even in the midst of trials, sufferings, and sicknesses, we've got to be able to band together for that, like Epaphroditus did here with Paul. Now, let me show you three things about Epaphroditus. First, I want you to notice Epaphroditus was balanced in his life. Go back to verse number 25. Epaphroditus is called a brother. He's called a companion in labor, a fellow soldier. But your messenger, and he ministered to my wants. Here he is referred to as several different things along the spectrum. Epaphroditus, by way of application, Epaphroditus was balanced. If we're going to power through our suffering, our sickness, our hard times, the trials that we face in life, if we're going to be able to press on for the cause of Christ, it's going to be because we stay balanced in this Christian life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1, that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Now, we've got to be balanced in that we put God in first place, but we've got to be able to balance our family. Got to be able to balance our work. We've got to be able to balance our church. Got to be able to balance our ministries. We got to be able to balance all of these things in our Christian life. Here, Epaphroditus was saved. He was serving, but he was also sold out. Nothing was going to keep him from serving his God. Not even the sickness that God allowed. He was faithful. He allowed God to work through him even during those difficult times. He was balanced. But also what I notice about him is he was burdened in verse 26 and 27. He was burdened for souls. Notice, he longed after you all. He was burdened for the souls of the people that were there at church, but also he was burdened for the saints that were there at the church. He was burdened for what God had left him here to do. Listen, if we're going to be faithful through the sickness, we're going to be faithful through the suffering that we face in life, and let's be honest, we're all going to go through sufferings. We're all going to go through times of sickness. But if we're going to be faithful during those times, we've first got to be balanced. But secondly, we've got to be burdened with what God wants us to be burdened by. Our focus has to continually be on others rather than on self. See, what happens far too often, and I've seen it time and time again, is a dear saint of God, somebody will get sick, and their focus becomes all about them. Oh, woe is me. Why did God allow this trial? Listen, I'm not making fun of anybody, okay? But our focus turns inward. And we begin to question and beg God, God, why are you doing this? Listen, I understand. Jesus Christ even said, my God, my God. He even questioned God. So there's nothing wrong with asking God the questions. What becomes wrong is our attitude behind asking those questions. God, don't you know who I am? Why would you take this ministry from me? I've known several that have gone through trials. They've gone through instances where they're struggling. I've got a preacher friend of mine right now who's laid up in bed. He can't preach. We've got to make sure to keep the right mentality. To understand our focus is not inward. It's all about others. Yes, I've got to recover. Yes, we've got to get better. Yes, we've got to work on the sickness. We've got to work on the ailment. We've got to make sure that we rehab properly so we can be able to get back to doing what God wants us to do. But even in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trials, our focus still has to be on others. We've got to be balanced in our Christian life, but we've got to be burdened. And we've got to see others for who they are. As souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. And we've got to make sure that we're spreading the gospel like we should. Here, Epaphroditus shows us exactly how to be balanced in the Christian life. He shows us how to continue to have a burden, even in the midst of our trials. He was sick nigh unto death, verse number 27 says. But lastly, I notice as well that he was still a blessing. He was balanced in his life. He didn't allow one thing to get out of whack with him and God. He was burdened by what God placed him here to do, but also in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the trial, he was still striving to be a blessing. Our prayer, and my prayer, ought to be, your prayer ought to be, I just want to be a blessing to somebody else, God. God, would you just use me to be a blessing? However that happens. However it works. I've made this statement several times and I'll continue to make it. It may be God allows a sickness in your life so that you can come in contact with a doctor or a nurse or a nurse's aide, a physician's assistant, somebody you would have otherwise never come in contact with. God may want you to share the gospel with them. And if our focus becomes inward instead of outward, then we fail at the test that God's given us. It may be God allowed that to happen so that we can be that influence, be that testimony, be that example, and be that witness that we need to be for the cause of Christ. That may be God's divine way, again, by divine appointment, it may be God's divine way to get the gospel to that specific person. It may be through our sickness, through our trial, through our burden. And we've got to remember that. In the midst of it, Lord, help me to be a blessing. I've shared this line from this poem many times. Others, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live for thee. And if we live our lives serving other people, a servant never wants for a job. There's always one. And if we live our lives serving people, striving to be a blessing to somebody else, you'll never struggle with having friends. You'll never struggle with having a purpose in life. And you'll never struggle with finding the blessings that God's given you. Because as your eyes are open and you see the needs that others have, and God uses you to be a blessing, the vast majority of the time when you strive to be a blessing to somebody else, you end up getting the blessing. You ever going through a bad day? My youth director used to say this all the time. Brother Anthony, you'll remember it. Brother Tar used to always say, if you're having a bad day, go bake you some cookies and go to the nursing home and start passing them out. You'll cheer up real fast. Why? Because you'll be ministering to people. What happens? You take your focus off of self and you put it on others. And that's exactly what Epaphroditus did. He gives us a great example of how to be balanced in this Christian life, how to be burdened by others, but also how to continue to be a blessing. And look at verse number 30. He says, Paul says, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Why? To supply your lack of service. He didn't say to supply your lack of finances. Some people think, well, I can't be a blessing because I don't have anything. You have yourself, and you can serve with yourself. Here, he supplied their lack of service to Paul. Paul just needed somebody to listen to him. Paul just needed somebody to be there. He was so involved. Epaphroditus was so involved that he almost worked himself to death so he could fulfill the will of God. Now listen, I have no idea when God's going to call my number or when He's going to call yours. I have no idea when God's going to take us home. But I would love to have that testimony that Epaphroditus has. That I would serve until the end. That I would serve so faithfully that I'd serve straight to the grave. That'd be an awesome testimony. Was it D.L. Moody? Died in the pulpit? Had a heart attack in the pulpit? As a man of God, he served doing what God had called him to do. I think it was him. Maybe Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday died a few days later after a heart attack in the pulpit. I don't remember. Anyway, moving on. I want to be a blessing. And I want to live my life in such a way that the focus is always on people. It's always on others. This is why we've changed the logo on our track to loving God and loving people. Because Jesus said, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Take everything that you found in this book. If you love God with everything you have, there goes my Bible. And you love others as yourself. That sums it all up. All 613 Old Testament commandments are right there. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang the law and the prophets. Now, I don't know about you, but loving God with everything you've got and loving your neighbor as yourself, that's a full-time job. And that's enough to keep us busy. Okay? I have no idea how they would have kept all 613 commandments. I'm glad that Jesus narrowed it down to just the two. But listen, those two are harder than the 613 because it encapsulates every bit of them. We've got to make sure. If we're going to stay faithful through the suffering, faithful through the sickness, we've got to have balance, we've got to stay burdened, and we've got to strive to be a blessing. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Here, Epaphroditus gives us a great example on how to be a blessing. How to serve others, how to help, how to be there when somebody needs us. And that ought to be our prayer. Listen, I understand everybody goes through different things at different times. I understand there's seasons of sickness that you may go through. There may be seasons of rejoicing and seasons of great health that you go through. And during those times, and as we each offset each one of those times, we can bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. But we've got to strive to do what God has laid us here to do. And that's to stay faithful even in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the sickness. Don't allow your trial that God has allowed, don't allow that trial to cause you to become selfish. Keep your focus outward and upward. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you.